In so many ways, we are living in the last days of Pompeii.
This February, at a public radio conference in Atlanta, a music critic named Norman Lebrecht prompted accusations of Nazism from public radio music directors from around the country. The bearded, bespectacled British writer pounded his podium, shouting to the crowd, "We in classical music must be elitist, to raise people's consciousness, to make them better people." Pretty strong words that got the on-their-feet reaction they were intended to provoke, because Norman Lebrecht is a man with a cause he sees as no less than ensuring the entire future of classical music.
There will always be some form of what we know as classical music and some people who will want to listen to it, but it's quite clear that it is no longer central to our society. It has been pushed further and further to the margins, and what we're seeing in, as it were, the center of the classical music world is disappearing audiences, vanishing record sales, and a state of total confusion as to how music can recover its audience.
In Lebrecht's much-anticipated recent book, Who Killed Classical Music?, he argues that classical music's live performance and recording industries are in danger of extinction due to the greed of a very few, very highly paid soloists. He accuses record labels of relying on blockbuster movies like Shine, Amadeus, or Immortal Beloved to generate new interest in at least one or two big classical albums, rather than putting money and effort into educating and cultivating new audiences.
Over the next 5 years, I think we are going to witness a decline of about a third of the world's symphony orchestras. There are about 500 full-time professional symphony orchestras in the world, half of them in the United States. That is going to come down very, very radically. All the conditions are against us. The lack of social support, the declining audience, the greed of the big stars, all of these things combined are going to result in what I suppose can only be called a massacre.
Six years ago, when Bobby McFerrin was named artistic director of the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, his unorthodox approach to classical music became a lightning rod for both criticism from music purists such as Lebrecht and praise from those who saw a much-needed shot in the arm for the concert hall. McFerrin soon found he was facing an uphill battle.
Early on in my career, I'd been conducting maybe a year or two, and I was extremely excited. I was about to conduct Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. And I was hopping and skipping and running and jumping. I could not contain my excitement. I was so eager to get out there. I kept saying, come on, come on. You know, I couldn't wait for the intermission to be over. Come on, come on, let's play, you know. Let's rock and roll. Let's do it. You know, I couldn't wait. And I was reprimanded by one of the musicians because he said, you know, I didn't have the correct attitude. I wasn't serious enough.
McFerrin tries to tailor classical music to appeal to younger, more diverse audiences, which raises the question, has classical music simply failed to connect with 20th century American audiences? Yes, says Wally Smith, former program director of KUSC, a classical music station in Los Angeles.
If you look at what's happening to the population in the United States, you recognize that Western Europeans are becoming the minority population in this nation. And with that, the influence of Western Europe is beginning to diminish.
2 years ago, with Smith at the programming helm, KUSC launched a controversial new direction on its airwaves, incorporating traditional classical music in an eclectic format with jazz, world music, and American classics. The idea was to expand the definition of classical music.
There is the possibility that we can simply say, okay, let's just forget all of that. Let's focus our attention on providing the Western European musical repertoire to the group of people who know about it and want it, accept the fact that we are not going to be growing audiences, throw all of our marketing, make these boutique and conservatory-based projects, and people who want to hear this music will come to it the way they go to the antiquities sections of the museums, you know, to see the art that really represents the history of the world. But then don't pretend that you want to build audiences.
The experiment did not last. Public opinion over the change was mixed, support from the nervous university licensee was withdrawn, and Wally Smith and several announcers were forced to resign from the station. LA Times critic Mark Swed wrote, "Despite KUSC's failure, the new programming ideas are the future." Swed says KUSC simply went too far too fast. But there is support in other places for broadening classical music's definition. St. Paul Sunday encourages a broad concept of chamber music, and some of its guests, such as the Bolivian-based Rumi Yacta, illustrate that commitment. St. Paul Sunday host and Kansas City Orchestra conductor Bill McLaughlin.
What I see, especially in a multicultural country that we are, we've all come from somewhere else, that the music gets better every time a new sort of national or ethnic music gets added to the mix. So you take Russian Jew from New York, like Copland, or like Bernstein, or like Gershwin, you add in Caribbean, West African harmonic and rhythmic ideas, you add in maybe German polka, Scots or Irish tunes, and you have pretty soon this American jazz floating around that has its roots in three continents, if not more, and it's a music for all of us.
Is classical music at a crisis point? From the Village Voice and the New York Times to Audiophile and music industry magazines, writers have been warning of disappearing audiences, plummeting record sales, and substandard music education for years. But the alarm may be a bit premature. Two orchestras did file for bankruptcy this year, but six others did in the last decade, only to regroup within a few years. Classical CD sales are down, but so are sales of all kinds of music. But clearly, classical music is not without its problems. Finding consensus on what those problems are is another matter. Music organizations seem reluctant to admit even concern over any issue other than government funding. For Minnesota Public Radio, I'm Brandi Parisi.